Welcome to the Lusima Podcast. I'm Charles Lusima. I'd like to talk a little bit about color management because this is what I've been challenged with, I suppose you could say, over the last couple days. On Friday, I picked up an Azo CX271. The panel is it's an IPS panel. It's very similar to my CG275W, which is now, I believe, a five-year-old IPS panel. This is at least when Azo themselves started producing them, and it's no longer produced. I believe now the panel that they have in production is the CG277W. They're all very similar. They come out with, just like with iPhones, they come out with new models every couple years. Not as often as iPhones, they come out with new panels for the same size, probably every 2 years or so. And this is still a regular 27-inch, so I think the resolution is 2560 by 1440. I have a 27-inch Azo monitor. It's the ColorEdge. Again, it's the 275. It's the CG275W. That one I keep at the office. It's pretty much that level of monitor. That's the gold standard. There are successors to that monitor. Like I said, the 276, 277. And now they have the 318, I want to say. Which is basically... Oh, I'm sorry. It's a 31 inch, so they call it a CG318. I'm not sure what the 8 is for exactly, but it's a 4K display that's a 31 incher. That one is now, of course, it's the biggest and baddest monitor that Azo produces. Now, the reason I mention all this is basically to give you an idea of, well, first of all, why do I need so many different monitors? Well, I have the 275 at the office, and at home I was originally using the Dell 27-inch. It's the UP2716D. That is a 27-inch wide gamut display, which is also 2560 by 1440. So it's the resolution across all these displays are exactly the same. And I'd been using it for a couple months. And I don't know if some of you guys remembered, but I was using a... So the reason I got the Dell about 6 months ago was because I'd started working from home a lot. And at home, I didn't have a display worthy of color accuracy and also whatever I was doing, photography, retouching. Just I had an old Dell 24-inch display. I think it's about 11 years old. And I think that panel, it certainly wasn't an IPS panel. It's a, what do they call it again? It's a PVA. So it had very limited angles for viewing. And also color accuracy was definitely not on the agenda when they produced this. It was very much a consumer panel, I think, that you could get for like a couple $100. And probably the most difficult thing that I had with it was just that I couldn't get it to calibrate to a spec that I felt looked right. And again, I think this is going to be one of the themes of this conversation is calibration is very user specific. There are some people who they like a specific calibration. It's weird, but there's no real right answer. And the reason that is because at the end of the day, it's humans that make the ultimate decision of what goes and what stays. And because we're all human, because we're all interpreting the data, there's ultimately going to be some choice that is not rooted in data. That is, it becomes emotional. So when I was saying like the Dell 24-inch that's 11 years old couldn't calibrate correctly, It's because when I calibrate it with the different devices that I've had throughout the years, whether it was a Spider 3 Pro or a Spider or the Color Monkey or the Color, I had a Spider 3 first, then I got a Color Monkey, and now I have an i1 Display Pro. Those are all just colorimeters. They're just devices that calibrate, but they're paired with hardware, the hardware that you buy, the puck, that thing that you stick on your display, and then they're paired with software. And so often it's the software that is limiting the ability for that puck to do its job correctly. And again, when I say correctly, really at the end of the day, it becomes a very personal choice for what you want to see out of your display. Now, if you look through the internet, most people will tell you the Spider calibrates red. And I don't know why. I've never liked the Spider. In fact, I got rid of it pretty quickly after I got it because it just had a distinct reddish tint. Whether I was calibrating the MacBook or whether I was calibrating that Dell. And then later on, did I ever try it with the Azo? For a very short time, I had an Azo 241, which was a 24-inch display. I believe that one was still a PVA panel. I don't think they'd moved to IPS panels back then. And I had it for a very short amount of time, but its uniformity was so off, I returned it back to the factory very quickly. It was a refurbished unit. And I got rid of it because I just couldn't stand how the panel looked. It was just kind of ununiform, and I returned it, and I asked, you know, when I returned it, I was actually really bummed because I got the monitor for such a good deal. I think I got it for like $1,000 when it retailed, or $1,002 when it retailed for like $2,000. And because I get it from the factory direct, I trust that, you know, if they say it's refurbished, then they've tested it and recalibrated and done all their due diligence on it. But, you know, I just couldn't live with that specific panel. It just seemed like there was something wrong with it. It was very, very skewed. It was, back then, I don't think they had any uniformity compensation where they try to balance out the entire panel from left to right or top to bottom. And so there wasn't that feature that I could just turn on and it would kind of, you know, rebalance itself. So I returned it, and it just so happened that they had, I think they had a 243. Okay, so they had a CG243W, and that's a 24-inch IPS panel, and at that time, that was the most expensive panel that Azo produced. And that one retailed for like $2,400, $2,500, I believe, at the time. $2,500. And they just so happened to have one that came in from some customer who bought it and didn't want it or didn't like it, or there's, you know, for whatever reason. They asked me if I wanted to see it. I said, of course I want to see it, you know. So I looked at it, loved it, took it home that day. I don't remember exactly what I paid for it. I think it was $1,600 for that panel being $2,400, $2,500, still a great deal. So I had been using that panel, the CG243W, for, I think I want to say 4 years I used that panel or that display. And that was the best thing. And that display, however, did not come with a built-in calibration sensor. And you're asking, well, what display does? Well, the this 275W that I have, that comes with a built-in calibration sensor. The bezel is rather thick. Maybe it's like a 3/4-inch thick bezel that goes all around the display. Hidden within the bezel on the bottom, to the left of the stand mount, there is a little rectangular bezel that actually, or not bezel, there's a little rectangular colorimeter that actually hides in the bezel, and every several hours, I think 200 hours or whatever it is that, you know, Azo programs its computers to recalibrate itself, it'll pop out. It'll do a calibration or a test or a recal or something like that. I don't even know what it does. And it goes back in its bezel after it's done. Sometimes I see it do its thing. Sometimes I don't. What I can tell you about it is that it has made my life and my relationship with color accuracy a lot better. You know, not having to pull out my, you know, the colorimeter and connect it to USB, hang it over your computer, wait the 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or whatever it is to validate or recalibrate has been really nice. Like, that's a real drag, especially because that's all manual. You can't do it when you're sleeping. Well, the CG275W, this new one that I have, with it built in, it just does it by itself overnight usually when I'm sleeping. So I never have to wait for it. I never have to even see it do its thing. So occasionally I'll hear it because I'm up late. And if I'm by the computer, I'll hear it kind of pop out because it's a mechanism. It sounds like a small motor, you know, rotates it out 90 degrees. It does its thing and then it rotates back in and then it hides. So I so very, very rarely ever get to see it work its magic. But having a built-in calibration device is, I mean, it makes so much sense. And of course, it costs so much to do, so it's not like every company out there is just going to do the same thing and copy that. It's not that they couldn't, it's more cost, and it's not that everybody needs color accuracy, so why do that? But the reason I brought all of that up was because, you know, I told the story up to the point where I returned that monitor to Azo. They offered me the brand spanking new top of the line one that they had 4 or 5 years ago, the CG243W. I was enthralled with it. It was an IPS display. I took it home. But that one, of course, as with all the other ones at the time, you still had to manually calibrate. That's when I went down the rabbit hole of, I had a spider, I bought a color monkey, and I was never happy with the spider calibration. So when I did the spider calibration, they always came out kind of reddish, especially with their software. I never liked their software. Their software was pretty bad. And then after getting the color monkey, I was able to calibrate all my displays. The color monkey to my eyes, skews greenish, but a much better hue, a much better tint rather than the spider. So I got rid of the spider and I kept the color monkey. The color monkey also was capable of calibrating your printer. So you would print out test prints, then you would use a color monkey and you'd scan these test prints for the types of color that it was creating, and then it would create a color profile, and then you would then install that color profile for that printer. And for in the future, it would then alter the prints to create a more balanced, color accurate print. And with that in place, I had a pretty good system going. Like, I had a color calibrated display, the Azo CG243W, and then also had a color calibrated printer at the time, which was a Canon Pixma Pro 9500 Mark II. And so finally had this whole color workflow dialed in for about 3 years, 4 years, that I didn't really mess around with it a whole lot. Now, fast forward to when I got the 27-inch. I think I acquired the 27-inch about 2 years ago. And again, from Azo, factory direct, refurbished. I've bought every single monitor that I own from Azo refurbished. Because I'm not paying... Because I found a channel to be able to get them refurbished, then I would never pay retail for it because they're astronomically expensive. Like that 4K monitor that they sell right now is like $5,000. The 27 inch that I'm using right now, the latest generation of that one is still, I want to say it's probably $2,500 to $2,700, you know. So I mean, they're I mean, they're worth every penny. Even if I had to pay retail, they're still worth every penny. But if I can get them cheaper, then I will, of course. Now, the 27-inch I acquired 2 years ago, that's the one with a built-in colorimeter, rather, pops up, calibrates itself. So I've gone away from using the Color Monkey. And for 2 years, I didn't even use the Color Monkey. I didn't use a third-party calibration device. I never even looked into what type of colorimeter they're using. I don't know what type of... It's so hidden under the hood. Everything is so just integrated. And it's done well. It's done well for me. And I've never wondered, I wonder what's going on under the hood. It doesn't matter because it calibrates well. The colors have been on par or better than what I was getting from the Color Monkey. So I never tested or questioned the 27-inch display with the built-in calibration device. So that's the one that I've had. That's the gold standard. That's the one that sits in my office. But since I've been needing something a little bit more often for home use, I started going down this rabbit hole again. But I didn't want to get another 27-inch. It wasn't, I just didn't feel like I needed another $2,700 monitor, even if I could get it cheaper. I just didn't feel like I needed that. So I started looking at what was available conventionally through regular consumer distribution channels, such as Amazon, such as Dell. At the time, I looked at two panels specifically. They marketed them more towards color accuracy. The first one that I got was the Asus, right? Is that right? I'm starting to forget stuff. It was the BenQ. So I got the BenQ 27-inch. I think it was like the PT2701, I believe is the model number. These model numbers. SW2700PT. If I remember correctly. BenQ SW2700PT. That's the first one that I tried out about 7 months ago. I tried it for about close to 30 days. And it was marketed as a color accurate display. And I'm like, oh, great. Something that's affordable, about the $600 range, that's supposedly color accurate. It was $100 cheaper than the Dell at the time, I believe. So I'll get into the Dell later. But anyway, I tried it first because I think it was just a little bit cheaper or something. I was like, all right, I'm going to try it. And I got it, and for a while I thought it was okay, but then over time I could see, again, panel uniformity is a huge issue, and it's something that I've written about a couple days ago, about a week ago now, where you can see that the panel is not either the same brightness from left to right, top to bottom, or the same color. So there are color shifts sometimes, and or there are brightness shifts sometimes. And with the BenQ, that one, I think it was both. And so here's the thing about that display is that they claim that it's calibrated, which it is. I think it comes factory calibrated. I think they give you a calibration chart, which is great. But they don't tell you anything about panel uniformity. And the thing with panel uniformity and color accuracy is that when they do color accuracy tests, they generally just do that test in the middle of the display. Because you can't create a different profile for the different areas of the monitor. Like when you create a color profile, it applies itself over the whole monitor. Now, I guess one day they could create a... some software that allows you to create regional color profiles that then adjust for brightness and then color shifts. But then how many regions? What, like 9? You know, break it up into a matrix of 9. Or do you want to go even more detailed than that? Go by like 10 by 10? Or is that not detailed enough? Like how many regions and how many spots do you then have to calibrate for? I think it makes a lot more sense that the company itself, the panel manufacturer, or the monitor manufacturer rather, because they usually outsource, they buy panels, and like LG panels, or, you know, I think Samsung makes panels or whatever. They buy these panels, and it's better for them to just buy and make sure that they're uniform from the factory, or apply some sort of uniformity compensation, such as what Dell and Azo have, rather than have this new software supposedly that I just pulled up out of the blue that then can calibrate for different areas of the display. Because then for each area of the display, you're waiting like, what, 10 minutes, 15 minutes per area? And then if it were 10 by 10, you're doing that over 100 times. Even a 3 by 3, you're doing that by 9 times, you know? So it doesn't quite make a whole lot of, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to do it that way. But anyway, back to the BenQ. It didn't calibrate. I mean, it calibrated fine. I think the color accuracy was fine for the middle of the display. But then when you started looking at the corners, and then there's like light fall off, and, you know, there's like little color shifts left and right, it just didn't, it got disappointing. And maybe after like a couple of days of looking at it, I couldn't stand it anymore, and I decided I was going to return it. I don't think it even took a month. I think I wanted to return it within like the first couple of days. I just didn't get around to it because it took me a while to then buy the Dell, the UP2716, 27 inch model year 2016. It's the ultra sharp series of Dells that they create. This one was marketed as color accurate and also gave you test results from the factory. So they gave you like a uniformity test result showing that it was uniform, you know, throughout the, I think they actually break it down to 5x5, I think. A 5x5 matrix, and they give you an actual physical report on paper for how uniform it is throughout the 5x5 matrix. And then they also give you, I think, a color accuracy report, which doesn't matter as much to me because, you know, I'm still going to calibrate it anyway externally. So I got that, and I was using it for a while and largely happy with it. But over time, for whatever reason, I could see that it suffered kind of the same thing. There's this luminosity issue from left to right, and also a little bit of a color issue from left to right. And the thing, and here's, you know, I think I've said all of this just to give you a great background, or to give you a good understanding of what I'm trying to get at. At the end of the day, for all these things, it really comes down to a human interaction with that display. This is what it boils down to. It's only as good as the person sitting in front of that display. And I'm not talking as far as just being a retoucher or a photographer or someone working on the computer. I'm talking about, like, if I'm not good with color accuracy protocol and workflows, I can't make that display look good. Unless, of course, it's an Azo and it has a built-in colorimeter and it's just doing its auto calibration every 200 hours without me knowing it, without my intervention. Unless that's the case, what I'm saying is every step of human interference, really, is what the word should be, is some chance for some person to screw it up and make it worse. And when you think about color accuracy, I think that's one of the things that nobody ever talks about. Nobody makes it easy. The thing is, none of these companies, except for Azo, except for their you know, self-calibrating, bezel-hidden colorimeter displays. Like, except for those displays, every single monitor that you can buy, whether it's an NEC, top-of-the-line NEC, or whether it's a consumer-grade, you know, Dell or whatever panel that you can get for like $150, doesn't matter. All of these require that you load software, then you make some series of decisions to calibrate it correctly. Now, fantastic thing called the internet is there to help us, but guess what? Color accuracy is not something that you're going to find readily available in the thousands of results, page results. Like, you'll find color accuracy results and people will talk about it, but it's still such an obscure thing that for your specific display that you're looking for, you may not find as many results, page results, that can guide you properly through a proper calibration. On top of which, then you've got the Mac versus PC issue. So for example, the Dell doesn't do a hardware calibration without the USB uplink. And the USB uplink isn't available unless you have a PC running Windows. So if you're on a Mac, all you're doing is calibrating the video card on your Mac, and that's it. You're not doing a hardware calibration within the display. And that's just how it is. I mean, some manufacturers don't create software for other platforms. And then now you're stuck using some dumbed down, watered down version of, you know, whatever it is. It's funny because when you load up the Dell Ultra Sharp software for the Mac, it's basically an i1 Display Pro. It's exactly the same as the i1 Display Pro. It's just relabeled, you know, or it's kind of like, you know, with what do they call that? They call it white label stuff. You know, you can just put whatever name of your company on that product. The point of it is, I think when you're like, just drawing a quick conclusion after now talking for 21 minutes or 27 minutes rather, you know, giving you all this history, is that nobody ever puts any value on making it easy. And the thing with color accuracy is that there are so many decisions to be made. You've got wide gamut, you've got the gamut of the monitor, you've got the type of color space that you want to calibrate to, whether it's sRGB, whether it's Adobe RGB, whether it's this new standard that they're coming out for color grading that is for film. I don't remember the acronym or the letters for it, but there's so many different color spaces you can calibrate to. You have to decide what kind of gamut you want to calibrate to. You have to then often tell the software, what kind of panel is this? Is it a white LED? Is it a plasma? Is it an OLED? Is it a, they have, what other choices do they have? Like a green blue LED. And then there's also RGB LED. And so all of these little things also create differences in your calibration results. Then, of course, and those are all new things to me. Well, not necessarily, I'm sorry. Telling it what kind of panel it is, that's kind of new to me. But then you have to decide white point, black point, gamma. Then you have to calibrate, white point, black point, gamma, Kelvin. So if you want, you know, if you calibrate to D65, or you want to calibrate to something a little bit warmer, 6,000, 5,500, you know, even 5,000. I've done multiple calibrations to down to 5,000. I've never used anything other than D65, though. That's just my cup of tea. And again, it's very cup of tea. It's very personal to what it is that you want to see and how you want to work, how bright you want to calibrate to. Like I said, white point, I usually calibrate to 100 candelas per meter squared. Some people calibrate to... Most people calibrate to 120. That seems to be the kind of industry standard. But for my prints, I've always felt like 100 was a little bit more accurate to what I was seeing. Even when I look at a 120 candela CDMA or CDM CD over M squared candelas per meter squared, if I look at a 120 candelas per meter squared display, I feel like it's too bright. So there's that. So there's all sorts of stuff that you can screw up on. And my point is, the hardware, the software, the display manufacturer, none of them really make it that easy for you. And it just gets more and more convoluted and complicated because I think partially because there's just no standard, right? I mean, nobody knows, nobody can tell you what color space you're supposed to calibrate to, because sometimes you want to be in sRGB, sometimes you want to be in Adobe RGB. There's not one right answer. There's plenty of ways to go, and it's up to you what you want and how you want to calibrate. So there are choices for that reason, but at the same time, sometimes it needs to be a more Apple-like world where it's just you're told what you need to have, and that's just it, and there's no way to change it, and everybody's looking at the same thing, and that's great because now people can't screw it up. I'll tell you, like, with my experience calibrating the Dell UP2716D, in calibrating it using its software, I can go every which way from Sunday, and I can create literally 20 different results just with basic adjustments, like telling it it's a white LED, telling it it's a GB LED, telling it it's a generic panel, telling it it's an OLED. Like, right there you can screw things up. And of course you can say, well, Charles, why don't you just go and find out what kind of panel it is? Well, I do know what panel it is. It's a GB LED display. It's a green blue light emitting diode display. I know what panel it uses, but when I use that selection, I don't like the results, which then boils down to, well, what do you want to see? Well, honestly, what I want to see is something that doesn't have that red tint to it. For whatever reason, I get a red tint when I use that selection, or a little bit redder. But then when I use a different selection, like I think yesterday I tried generic. Generic was bad. White LED got me a little closer. I forget what the selection was finally that I used, but you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to a personal preference. What is white? Because I didn't agree with the white temperature or the white balance of what I was getting from that software combined with the i1 Display Pro hardware. I just didn't agree with it because right next to it, I have an Azo, this new Azo that I got, Factory Direct, CX271, that was giving me what I felt, what I've always felt over the years, was just a better white, something that was more neutral. Now, again, it's preference. You know, who's to say Azo's more accurate, other than the fact that that's what they do, is create color accurate and medical displays. It's just that, you know, as a user, I trust that display more than I trust the other ones. Does it make it more accurate? I guess you would have to test it with more expensive devices and calibration units and whatever. But so what I'm really saying is I'm trying to match what I'm seeing from the Azo, and without them looking the same, I'm basically saying, well, one's right and the other's wrong. And that in itself is kind of, well, arbitrary, because then I can't use data or metrics to prove that the Dell is not calibrating correctly. It's just that I want it to look more like the Azo. Now, what I can tell you about the Azo is that even though this specific unit, the CX271, doesn't have a built-in colorimeter or built-in calibration device, the software that comes with Color Navigator, I've always loved. And the reason I've always liked it is because it's always calibrated. Like when I use a Color Monkey to calibrate the older Azo, the first Azo that I had for the longest period of time, the CG243W, When I used the Color Monkey, it always calibrated well with the Color Navigator. And the reason I know this is because when I got the new 27-inch Azo, the one with the built-in calibration device, and I put them side by side, I could see they both had the same calibration. They both had the same color profile look. Like, there was no difference. It wasn't because the built-in one, the one with the built-in colorimeter was better. It just had the same look. It calibrated to the same spec. And that's what leads me to believe that it's more software than hardware. And so for that reason, when I'm using Color Navigator, when I'm using the Azos, I feel very at home. I never guess. I never think, oh, there's something wrong, you know. It's always given me a very neutral tint. Straight from the factory, they will always look the same. In fact, a factory cal versus a manual calibration via Color Navigator has almost never created much discernible difference. That's the other thing that I think that you have to give it some credit, is that a lot of times when they do a factory calibration, then you do your own personal calibration, you're like, oh shit, this is not the same. And you then start to doubt the factory calibration. Well, with the Azos, I've never seen much difference between factory and between what I was getting from my own personal calibration. And that's always led me, or given, or left me with a good feeling, you know, a good feeling in my stomach, because then I know that, well, the factory is doing its job, in that, and also that my calibration here at home is not far off from the factory. With the Dell, that's not the case. The Dell, with its intrinsic color profile that is loaded up from, you know, with my Mac OS, it's got a lot of contrast. It skews like really green and blue. Then I do a color, you know, a test or calibration with my iWin display, and then it skews red, and it's all over the place. And then you've got this whole, well, it doesn't talk to Macs, so you got to use a PC. And guess what? I used a PC. It was even worse. Then the other thing is, like, with the Dell, they don't give you the uniformity compensation. That uniformity compensation feature is turned off when you do a hardware calibration. What's the deal with that? What's the point of having uniformity compensation if you can't use it with hardware calibration? And that just literally threw that threw any sort of hardware calibration out the window immediately, because the calibrations I was getting, the color profiles I was getting from hardware calibration, were tons worse. Absolutely. I said I could barf out a better color profile with what I've had for breakfast. It was that bad. Abysmal. So I threw everything out the window having to do with hardware calibration, calibrating it on PC. None of that bullshit. None of that. I wasn't having it. I went back to calibrating it with Mac. Started really dialing in, kind of looking at kind of the different selections that I could affect the color profile with, and I settled with something that gave me something very similar to the Azo. But when I say that I like the Azo profile, it isn't arbitrary. That's what I'm trying to tell you. There is trust, there's loyalty, there is accuracy there. When it comes from the factory a certain way, and then when you calibrate it and it looks the same way as it looked from the factory, that gives me peace of mind that I'm getting something that a company that is built on color accuracy, you know, when they say it's color accurate, I would trust that it's color accurate. Dell is not a company built on making color accurate displays. That's not what they do. They make computers. They got into doing displays and monitors. That's fine. That's great. I have no more power to them. They're a huge company. They're much bigger than Azo. But all Azo does is make monitors. They make medical grade monitors. So there's a reason why when I say that I trust one over another, that's why. And when I'm calibrating with all these different devices and these different softwares, I say it skews red, it skews red. I'm not making that shit up. If it skews green, it skews green. If anything, I think the Azos, you know, as gray or as neutral as they might be, I think it may skew a touch green, but it's still the most neutral, you know, white balance that I've ever seen. So when I'm trying to get that del to match that azo, it's specifically because I do trust the white balance in the azo. It's specifically because I don't trust that reddish tint that I'm getting from this, you know, this combination of hardware and software on this Dell monitor. But at the end of the day, yes, it is preference. It does depend on you. It does depend on what you want to see. It does depend on what your experience is and how good you are with, you know, how sensitive your eyes are. I've done my tests. I can detect. I think I did one of these little eye test things where it's like, oh, how sensitive are your eyes to, you know, contrast, brightness, and color? Like, I think I got a perfect score on those tests. And of course, you know, whatever it's what we do. We sit in front of a computer and we look at colors and we look at brightness all day. If it's not on, it's not on. I can tell you when it's not on now. If I don't think about it, yeah, you can trick me to believe that, you know, something lesser is just fine. But I have a very, very high expectation when it comes to color accuracy, when it comes to fidelity, trust. That is something that is really difficult and hard to get. And certainly, yeah, you can buy it. You can spend it. If you spend enough money, yeah, you're going to get it. But, you know, so often it's the case where it comes down to, you know, you don't even know what you're getting. Anyway, I got to go. It's why I'm talking faster. But I'll see if I have any more thoughts on this later. Peace.